ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण सतरे वेरी फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर नंबर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर 38 5.20.38 एंड चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज़ द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स। द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 38 ऑन सी नंबर्स इज एतावा लोक विनेशो मनः लक्षण संस्थाभिः विचिन्तितः कवि सतु पञ्चाशत् कोटि भूतस्य भूगोलस्य त्रिय भागो यम लोक अलोक च वा। प्लीज सेंड इट टू मी। एतवान्
दिस मच
लोक विनायश द प्लेस ऑफ द डिफरेंट प्लैनेट्स
द प्लेसिंग ऑफ द डिफरेंट प्लैनेट्स
मनः the with measurements lakshana
symptoms
samsthavi
as well as with different situations
vichintita
established by scientific calculations
kavibhi
by learned scholars
sa that to but
panchasat koti
500 million yojanas
ganitasya
which is measured at
bhugolasya
of the planetary system known as bhuloka
Translation.
Learned scholars who are free from mistakes, illusions, and propensities to cheat have thus described the planetary systems and their particular symptoms, measurements, and locations. With great deliberation, they have established the truth that the distance between Sumeru and the mountain known as Lokaloka is 1/4 of the diameter of the universe, or in other words, 125 million yojanas, which is also equal to 1 million miles. Srila Vishwanatha Saraswati Thakur has given accurate astronomical information about the location of Lokaloka mountain, the movements of the sun globe, and the distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe. However, the technical terms used in the astronomical calculations given by the Jyoti Veda are difficult to translate into English. Therefore, to satisfy the reader, we may include the exact Sanskrit statement given by Srila Vishwanatha Saraswati Thakur, which records exact calculations regarding universal affairs. What follows by that is a long Sanskrit copy and paste of Srila Prabhupada from Srila Vishwanatha Saraswati Thakur's commentaries. And that is what I just go about this. Om Adhyanthi Vrindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Vinitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guru Yenama Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Devi Sesha Sunyama जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाश्री गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम For them, the study is focused on the matter only, rather than on the spirit. Because at the end of the day, if everything is only matter, then nothing should matter. If everything is only matter, then nothing should matter at the end of the day. Then why bother? There is things other than matter. So, for us, as sadhakas, you know, as spiritual practitioners, we are focused on both. We are focused on the matter as well as the spirit. Of course, we are more interested in the spirit than in the matter. But we don't deride the matter, we also study it. And it is there for those who are interested to know about it, so that our appreciation towards the Lord increases. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, that all this that I am explaining to you, my vibhutis, then he lists, you know, all the 80 plus vibhutis in chapter 10, that all these vibhutis are nothing but just a spark of my splendor. So what does that tell us? If all this long distance of 125 million yojanas of creation, and there is 4 billion miles of the entire universe, is a spark of his splendor, that means if there is a spark, there must be a flame behind it. And that flame is Krishna. So all these sparks are there to make us appreciate the potency of the Lord, so that we can get more attracted to Him. Because anybody who has got some amount of potency is very attractive. Somebody who can sing well, somebody who can dance well, somebody who can play well are very attractive because they are a spark of Krishna's splendor. So how beautiful, how much more beautiful will that personality be who is the source of all the sparks? If the spark is beautiful, then the flame is going to be more beautiful by definition. Yeah. So Bhagavatam, the reason for setting it out like this is so that we can appreciate the beauty of the Lord, the potency of the Lord. And if somebody is interested in matter, go ahead and figure it out, you know, for those who are scientifically stimulated. For example, you know, let's differentiate between this morning only when I was reading Bhagavatam with some of my friends, you know, in the Bhagavatam study group, Prabhupada writes there that Maitreya Muni tells Vidura that the Lord had injected his potency into the motherland. So when you just see that, then you know, when Maitreya Muni tells Vidura that the land has been injected with the potency of the Lord, and what is that potency becomes the nature of his question. The Prabhupada explains there that potency is the gravitational force that keeps things intact and keeps things up. Otherwise, imagine we are trying to work and we are all flying, you know, kind of haphazard here and there, not knowing where to go. Just sitting here in the Bhagavatam class and all of you are flying, that will be very difficult, you know, for us to even interact with each other. So that gravitational force is what keeps things intact. Now, when Newton was sitting under the apple tree and the tree fell, his stimuli was, why did the apple fall down? And why did it not go sideways, or why did it not go up, or why did it fall in the first place? It could have detached from the tree and could have stayed there. But why did it fall down? What is that force? And then he came upon this concept of the law of gravitation, which is wonderful. But what Bhagavatam tells us, and it's common sense as well, that the law of gravitation already existed before Newton discovered it, or before Newton coined a terminology to it. The force was already there. So what a spiritualist does, now what a transcendentalist does, he is of course interested in why the apple fell down. But more than that, who created the apple? That is a better question. No? Who created the apple? Where does it fall is fine, but who created the apple? What is that personality? Who is that personality that created the apple? Who created the apple tree? Where did the apple tree come from? Eventually, when we walk all our way backwards, then we end up with Krishna. That he not only created the apple or the apple tree, all the air, but created everything that works around. So our interest is right there. Yeah, we understand, we recognize that there is law of gravitation, but we are more interested in what is the source of that potency. And in Bhagavad Gita, again, Krishna explains that knowledge constitutes understanding what is matter, what is spirit, and who is the source of both. What is matter, what is spirit, and what is the source of both? That is the understanding of complete knowledge. So Bhagavatam, at the beginning of Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami sets it out with the sages of Naimisharanya, that what is Bhagavatam there to give us. Bhagavatam, if somebody was to read this section on its own about the structure of the universe, especially If we leave these kind of sections to the modern scientists, there is a big risk that they could just end up with a wrong conclusion altogether. To say that Bhagavatam, the purpose of Bhagavatam is to set out how the universe is structured, somebody reading it in isolation. And therefore, although our literatures are books of, you know, scholarly, no doubt, they are very scholarly books. They are written very systematically in an order. Everything is just all nicely assembled together. But the Bhagavatam is not to be left for the scholars only. The risk with that will be they will jump to a wrong conclusion. The essence of Bhagavatam is what? Essence of Bhagavatam is to give us bhakti. Pivata Bhagavatam asa amalyam. Guhura hura sika bhuvi. So in the beginning of Bhagavatam, only Sutta Goswami tells the pages of Sanishinya. What is this Bhagavatam? It is Nigama Kalpa Tahur Galitam Phalam. Sukha Mukhat Amrita Dhrave Samyutam. Pivata Bhagavatam asa amalyam. Guhura hura sika bhuvi Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam is what? It is Pivata. It is Nigama Kalpa Tahur Galitam Phalam. So this Phalam, the fruit of Bhagavatam, the essence of Bhagavatam is what? It is galitam phalam. Not only a fruit, but it is a galitam phalam. Why galitam phalam? Because fruit can be of three stages of ripening. One, it can be unripe. One, it can be ripe. And one, it can be fully ripe. No? Imagine nowadays when we used to, you know, eat mango just off the trees. I don't know whether you have that experience, but I come from a village area. So, you know, when the mango is ripe, it gets super ripe. That's called, like, you know, almost like a liquid mango. So, it's very squishy. You just pinch a hole in the mango, and you can literally drink the juice. So, we eat mango, true, but we can drink the mango as well. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is, Galitam Phalam. It is a fruit that the author is giving to us, Sutta Goswami is giving to us. And knowing that the mentality of people in Kali Yuga will be so degraded that if I just give them this fruit, they might say, who's going to take this, because I have to take it home, then I have to wash it, then I have to clean it, then I have to peel it, and then I have to eat it. Oh my God, so much work, I don't want it. So knowing that mindset, what Sutta Goswami did, he made and waited till the fruit is fully ripened, super ripened, it has become galitam phalam, it has become liquid. And what do we have to do as the takers of Bhagavatam? We don't have to eat this Bhagavatam. We don't have to see this Bhagavatam. We don't have to study this Bhagavatam. What we have to literally do is pivata Bhagavatam rasamani. We have to drink this Bhagavatam. Because drinking is easy. If somebody has given us mango smoothie, then there is not too much hard work for us to drink it, because okay, cutting, putting, chopping, putting it in the NutriBullet, all that is hard work. But drinking is not hard at all. So Bhagavatam is pivata Bhagavatam rasa amale. This ras, this liquid form, this nectar is already there for us just to drink it. Now this is the conclusion, that is the essence of Bhagavatam. That we take this Bhagavatam, enjoy the nectar, and then the essence is to then surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Not to get bogged down into what is this structure, where is this loka mountain. There is no essence of Bhagavatam. It is useful, no? It is secondary information. But if we leave, therefore, if we leave this Bhagavatam only for scholars who have got, you know, an intellectual stimuli, then we risk losing the essence of Bhagavatam. And that's why, you know, even if you look at Bhagavad Gita, what does the Lord say in the Chatushkoti Bhagavad Gita? Mata Prabha, how is the next time, the first one? Aham Sarvasya Prabha, Mata Sarvam Pravartate, Iti Matva Vajante Ma Buddha Bhava Saman Gita. So the Lord says that I am the source of both the spiritual and the material world. I am the source of both. So what else is there to research? The Lord is saying that. So there is the Lord. Now as devotees, as the jivas, what do? Our job is to then, therefore, well, our purpose is therefore to save the Lord, because He is the source of both. And how do we save Him? That is our second Chatushkoti Bhagavad Gita. Namachita Bhagavata Prana Bodhayantascha Parasparam Katayantascha Mamitya Dushyanti Charanandi Cha. So what do the devotees do? They discuss, they converse, they understand everything about the Lord, including His material potency, as well as His spiritual potency, as well as His loving reciprocation, everything. When we discuss all that, when we understand all that, then there is Krishna Vicharanam. nitya. There is happiness, there is bliss in that process. And when we do that endeavor, when we try to give our heart to the Lord, what does He do? He gives His heart to us, and that is called love. Because the love is centered on the heart, not on the head. No? We don't say, "We have given you my head." A boy doesn't go to the head and say, "I have given you my head." We say, "We have given you my heart," because there is love. So when we give our heart to Krishna, He gives His heart to us. And if it is required, what He does? Jnana Dipe Namashvara. He turns on the light in the room whereby everything is enlightened, and with that enlightenment, our head gets clear. So bhakti is the process with which our heart gets purified, and in the process our head also gets clear if required. So yes, bhakti fixes both our heart and our head, but the essence is the heart. No, that's where Krishna resides. That's where we need to connect to the Lord. Head will get clear, no, by default. That's why jnana and vairagya are the byproducts of bhakti. When we fall in love with Krishna, then jnana will automatically come, including the intelligence to understand that what is this 125 million yojanas between Mount Sumeru and Lokaloka. At the moment, to me, no, I can't comprehend this. Right? It's beyond. Until the temple of Vedic planetarium opens and I can see it and visualize it, to me it's lot of words, you know, which I can try to draw a picture, but a little bit too far out. Essence is appreciation of the potency of the Lord. And that is why when we present knowledge, when we present this jnana, you know, to the outside world and for our own selves, we have to be careful. Because knowledge is of course beautiful and empowering, but at the same time, knowledge can also be blinding. Knowledge can be empowering, but knowledge can also be blinding. You know? Too much knowledge in the wrong field can have unfavorable outcomes, such as 1. Pride. What else? You have to participate. If you have got too much knowledge in the wrong field, with the wrong intent, with the wrong mindset, what could be some of the pitfalls? Pride can come in.
You're progressing in the wrong direction.
You go in the wrong direction, yes? Knowledge in the ignorant direction, yeah? In the wrong direction. What else can happen?
Thinking that I am the supreme.
We think we are great. That can happen. So many things can happen. So many things can go wrong. We can lead someone to the wrong direction. So on and so forth. For example, if somebody is endeavoring to climb Mount Himalaya, no? Mount Everest. They want to climb the Mount Everest. And that is their goal. Now, in climbing and getting to the top of the mountain, the issue is that once we get to the, suppose we want to climb mountains and we get to the top. Once we get to the top, what could be some of the outcomes? We become proud that we are at the top of the mountain. We are waiting for people to glorify us that we have reached the top of the mountain. But we don't know whether somebody has even noticed that we have climbed or whether we have given up halfway through. Or even if somebody glorifies us that you are a champion, you scaled Mount Everest, how long will the glorification last? For some time, and then you get busy in the own life, then you just forget about it. So many things can be outcome of us climbing Mount Everest. But if we climb with the intent to seek prestige and reciprocation and glorification, then we may actually miss out the vital element of climbing the mountain, which is actually enjoying the breathtaking view that it has to offer. When we are at the top of the mountain, the view will be, I'm sure, spectacular, you know, and we can enjoy that. But if we get distracted, then we lose the top, you know, we miss the mountain. So similarly, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read Bhagavad Gita in our Vedic scriptures, if our intent is wrong, then we may become very slowly, you know, very scholarly, very pandita. But we miss the most spectacular aspiration, most particular aspect of Bhagavatam, which is the beautiful, breathtaking view that it gives us about the Lord and His devotees and about His material creation. Everything is just so beautiful. But if we can connect it to Krishna, then it becomes very beautiful. Otherwise, it can be actually dangerous. You know, Bhagavatam is very fine, for sure, if you read it. But we have to read it with the right intent, with the proper guidance, so that we are not misled. When we give this, so that is for us, you know, how we should approach Bhagavatam. When we try to give this Bhagavatam, when we try to talk about Krishna consciousness to others, again we have got a lot of experience. You know, we have got a lot of book distributors here. There's so much experience here of people wholeheartedly taking it and people grossly rejecting it. It's like, nah, I don't want it. You know, I know everything. Why do I need this book? I don't need this book. So we face all that. And we also see a lot of times people are more attracted to those who recite Bhagavatam who may not even be devotees, professional reciters. There's so many videos on YouTube these days, you know, people talking about Vedic literatures, and my goodness, it gets so much of likes. But what they wrote is completely rubbish. There was another word that almost came out of my mouth. But what they wrote is completely rubbish. Somebody forwarded me one of the videos by one very famous personality that is going around in India at the moment, you know, with long beards. Generally, this kind of personalities who are bogus with their long hair or long beards, it's one of their symptoms. And he was speaking of this, and somebody asked me for my opinion of this person. And I said, well, let's listen to it together. You know? So I was listening to it. And one of the questions was asked about him is how to resolve conflict. What does Krishna say about how to resolve conflict? This was the question asked by the audience in this particular YouTube video. Yeah? And this personality, when he was responding, he said, then I have not read, and he comes from a famous room in India at the moment. Yeah? I have not read Bhagavad Gita, but what I can tell you is what the Lord would have said about perfect resolution. And I almost honestly felt like smashing my phone against the wall. I was just so angry with this statement. I have not read Bhagavad Gita, so I don't know about Krishna, but I can tell you what he may have said about conflict resolution. What a rascal of his statement, yeah? And they profess to be gurus, you know, or sub-gurus like that, you know, big gurus. So completely nonsense, you know, completely nonsense. And people get attracted, they get likes, people pay money to listen to them. But when we try to give it for free, people want it. If anything free, people generally don't appreciate. Maybe we should start charging as well. Not that I'm saying it, but maybe then you got more attracted. So completely. So what is the essence? What's the point I'm trying to make? Yes, if we want to impress people, there is many ways to impress them. They will get fooled because they want to be cheated. But our mood is not to impress people. Our mood is to inspire people. Our mood is to inspire people in making their life a better thing, making their life more joyful, making their life more enjoyable in Krishna consciousness. So that is the whole purpose of life. So we don't speak to impress. We speak to inspire. When the professional reciters, they are, who can be very impressive because they are trained in that. It's all colorful videos, they put all charismatic. So much, you know, those lights will be facing on them, so they can, because if you take the light away, they look very dull. So all those lights are there, and like on movie actors, so much of collision lights are on their face, so they look beautiful. But when you see them outside that light, maybe one will look more better than them at times. You say, okay, I don't look that too bad when I look at them in the ordinary picture. But so much of glamour is put on them, so they look glamorous, but it's all artifact. It's all unreal, it's all superficial, it's all on the face only. Inside is all void. So people are void, people are distressed, people are losing hope, especially during the pandemic and all that. They need some light. And that is why it's so important to us to give them this Bhagavatam. We said this can change your life. Of course, if you give it to somebody new, we don't have to tell them that. By the way, you know this Loka mountain. It's 125 million yojanas from Mount Sunil. We don't have to tell them. They will not come back to us. We have to tell them something beautiful, that there is more attractive and something that they can implement in their life. And have a ray of hope to say, notwithstanding that everything is now topsy-turvy, no? People are losing job, people are dying, people are suffering, people are knocked down, people need hope. So when we give this ray of Bhagavatam to them, that can bring them back to life. But professional researchers can impress them, we can inspire them. Should we impress them as well? Of course, yes. If we can impress them and inspire them, that is wonderful combination. Because if you present to them, you know, our philosophy with dull face, as if, you know, we are ourselves depressed, and I don't know what I'm saying, and it's boring, and it's not attractive, then nobody's going to listen to us. But we don't have, the point I'm making is, no, we don't have to, our focus is on inspiring them, not on impressing them. But if you can inspire and if they get impressed, that is wonderful. That means we are a much more charismatic, you know, ambassador of Krishna consciousness. So we have to do both. Now, what about stage? There's a special race as well. Maybe I'll park this actually after professional. Today's the appear. I have some more things to say, but in the interest of time, I will pause this there. We have today's the special, two special occasions. Appearance day of Lord Mamandev and appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. Let's talk about Mamandev first and then we'll talk about Jiva Goswami very, very briefly. Lord Mamandev, Pastor Vina, appeared as a dwarf, and then we do. From my, there are three incarnations that are mentioned in our scriptures, three avatars that have got a unique characteristic of appearing as small and quickly growing into size. Very quickly. The other avatars like Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, they go through their normal, let's say, normal as in transcendentally normal growth period. But these three incarnations that grow very rapidly. One of them is Vaihadev, appears as the tip of the thumb from the nostril of Lord Brahma, and then very quickly he grows into thumb size, and then an elephant size, then into a mountain size, and then something bigger than the head, you know, and then meets the head. Very quickly, rapid growth. The other one is Matsya avatar, which comes like a small fish and then grows very quickly within no time. And the third one is this Vamandeva avatar, you know, which appears as a dwarf, very small at the beginning, and then quickly grows so big. Not just only as big as the air, but as big as the entire universe, and then just measure everything, you know, in two steps. That's how we need to. Is there a photon that you know, or is there three only? Or there could be a photon? Anything? Comes to mind? Probably is the photon there. There could be a photon, but this is the three that I know, and could be just three as well. So it grows quickly in size, no? So what can we, there's so many things of course we can learn from our the past, I mean we can meditate on this, no? It's no, none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one aspect that struck me was the fact that he grows quickly in size. When in our life, you know, we have problems, and we go and, you know, pray to the Lord, do say, no, sometimes as devotees, most of the times we don't, but sometimes we do. We say, this is the way of my life, can you please help me come out of this one and step forward in my bhakti. So when the Lord is growing so quickly, but I think the thing that I liked was that in to keep my bhakti steady, you know, and focused, I can meditate on the fact that yes, I have my problems. Some of them are small, some of them are medium, some of them are big. I have my problems. But the Lord is much bigger than my problems. The Lord is much bigger than my problems, you know. So rather than telling my problems, rather than going and telling the Lord how big my problems are, I can change it around by going and telling my problems how big the Lord is. So it's a mindset thing. If I minimize and trivialize my problems in presence of the Lord, make my problems dwarf. No, that's what I'm about there. If I dwarf my problems in front of the Lord, then the problems become very small. For example, if I'm riding my bike, you know, on a road and there is a tree fallen. That's it, a small tree, not too big. Like as thick as my arm or something, you know, arm is, it's fallen on the road, blocking the road. If I'm riding on my bike, I have to stop. Because if the tree is there, there's a problem in my journey at the moment. If I don't stop, then I'll do a flip over with my bike and myself as well. I can seriously injure myself. I have to post, either I slowly go over the tree, or I'm bypassing or something, I have to do it. So there's a problem in front of me which looks bigger compared to my capacity. So I have to slow down. It's common sense. But now assume, on the same road, if I was driving in my truck, big truck, and that tree is fallen over on the road, which is again the size of my arm. Now do I have to stop? I don't have to. The truck will just walk over the tree like no problems at all. So the tree has not changed, the road has not changed, but my capacity has changed. Initially I was on the bike, now I'm on the truck. On the bike I have to stop, otherwise I do a somersault. On the truck I don't have to worry about it, I'll just completely ignore it. So if I tell the tree is the problem, but if I put the tree in front of the road now, you say, oh my God, this is the problem, then the road will say, why are you worried about it? I will give you the momentum, the bhakti shakti, which you can just fly over the tree, don't worry about it. But otherwise we can just stand there and say, oh my God, there's a tree, I can't go over because my rascal is too small. So trivialize our problem by dwarfing it in front of Vamadev, because Vamadev is very big, very huge. And just, you know, pray to him that, oh Lord, give us the momentum with which I can cross over this obstruction that has come in my life at the moment. Please guide me. And then magic can happen. You know? So like that we march forward. And it reminds me of Bhishma Dev's prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows after the battle Kurukshetra is over, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj with all the Pandavas and Krishna and Vyasadeva and Narada Muni and Kunti Maharaj come to him, Bhishma Dev makes this interesting statement. You say, oh Pandavas, you have gone through so many of atrocities in your life at the hands of the Kauravas. So many trials and tribulations in your life you have gone through. I am wonderstruck how you are still alive. For them to go through all those issues, they are still alive for us, you know, just like for us, we could give up very easily. But Pandavas did. So how are you still alive? That was a rhetorical question. And he answers it by saying, you have only been alive and managed to sustain all these issues that you have faced only because of three things. Vipra, Achyuta and Dharma. Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. Vipra is the Brahmana, the devotees, Prabhupada says that. That it is only because of devotee association we can march forward and sustain all the pressure that gets built on us in terms of our material problems. The second one is the Dharma. No matter what happened in your life, you withheld the tenets of Dharma. You are Maharaj Dharma avatar. Whatever you do is Dharma. So, because you followed, you were religious, you were devotees, you were pious, you were dharmic, you managed to withheld and sustain the pressure that was built on you. And the third one is Achyuta, Krishna. Because you had Krishna with you, you could sustain the pressure. So, three things. Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. Devotee association, religious principles, dharmic religious principles, and Krishna. If we have these three, then even if the tree fallen on the road is not a small tree but a big log, we can still cross over it. If we take shelter of these three, devotee association, religious principles, and Krishna, problems will become small of our life. And we will march forward. So Vamadev is big. The tree is small. Even if the tree can grow in size, and our problems can grow in size, the Lord can grow in size for us. He can increase His capacity, He can increase our capacity as well. And we can march forward in Krishna consciousness. I have 5 more minutes, I'll talk about the Jiva Goswami. Anybody wants to add anything to one of them? Or anything that comes to mind, interesting? No? Try to wake up still. Okay, that's fine. Trying to grow our consciousness, our waking of consciousness. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, you know, appearance day of our esteemed Acharya in our parampara. Most of us know about Srila Jiva Goswami, and for that matter, about the 6 Goswamis. What I just found out in a few things, Srila Jiva Goswami is the Vilas Manjari in the spiritual domain. Krishna, which is the last pastime, is the Vilas Manjari. Don't ask me what's Vilas Manjari, I don't know. But found it in the book, that 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, so I read that. He's a Vilas Goswami, a Vilas Mandri. And he's of course renowned for so many books that he has written. You know, he's most prolific in our books. And Prabhupada, he famously started book distribution in one sense. And Prabhupada followed the footsteps of, you know, how Acharya is, 6 course on his writing, reading, publishing, lecturing on the books, all comes, the genesis of all this is the 6 course on his, and one by four of the same book. Satsandharma and Gopal Champu, you know, we have heard about this book, I have not read this book, it's on my list, but first I need to read Prabhupada's books, Sri Ramchandra Bhagavatam. But beautiful books there for those who want to read. And we know this Sri Srinath Dhamodar Temple, you know, that's where Jiva Goswami did his Sri Srinath Dhamodar are at the temple. Most of us, I think, you know, who are here, have been to Vrindavan and we have seen this temple, we have seen the Sri Srinath Dhamodar did his, which was carved by Srila Rupa Goswami and then given to Srila Jiva Goswami, who then worshipped those deities which are kept in the Dhamodar Temple. And that is where Prabhupada resided in his days before leaving for the to America. So and I read one so we know that. So then I read one this interesting article somewhere, and I hope this is true. To be honest, I could verify the source of it, but look authentic. In one of our repository of knowledge, it said that when Srila Prabhupada was at the Sri Siddhartha Damodar Temple meditating on his journey to US to take that, you know, a journey, when he was contemplating and all that and going and tossing and doing and throwing, you know, what to do, how to do, how to become successful, etc. Then Srila Jiva Goswami appeared in his dream, you know, manifested in front of him and said to Prabhupada that don't worry, just go, because your spiritual master is saying you go to the Americas and preach, go and I can guarantee you you will be successful. So it's one thing that struck me is the fact that yes, Prabhupada took that journey to America and Prabhupada of course had, you know, unlimited faith in his spiritual master in Krishna to do it. But equally what Prabhupada also had is the empowerment and the blessings and the guarantees, you know, of the Acharyas before him to say this will be successful. And perhaps that is why when he is executing the order in the US, he is so confident in every step he is taking that yes, it will be successful because he has already got the warranty, you know, from his Acharyas, you know, from his Siksha and Diksha Gurus and from the Acharyas and the Parampara, that it will be successful. Because if you look at Prabhupada's steps that he takes and try to put it in our life, at least when I try to put it in my life, I have to confess that I cannot be that confident, you know, that this will wake up. Even as simple as starting a preaching program online or in, you know, it's like, will this Bhakti Riksha be, you know, at the moment I started an online Bhakti Riksha. This is my first experience with an online Bhakti Riksha because we can't go to people's house. Yes, I had 2 experiences of other Bhakti Rikshas in person, so we know that, you know, the tricks and the train of the train, you know, how not to play with them, to be nice with them, to make genuine friendships with them, to give them prasadam, exchange prasadam. All that people, this is the inspiration part that I was talking about. Our mood is to inspire people by genuine love, genuine compassion. So here's some experience. But when I'm doing this online Bhakti Riksha, and this also incidentally happens to be my family, and we know that preaching to family is never easy. So I have 30 or 40 people coming from my family and my relatives who are preaching online, and this is going on for 2-3 months. So it's like, my Lord, what do I do? I can give them Bhagavad Gita philosophy, I can give them Bhagavatam, but will they become devotees? Online, how will they become devotees? There's no prasadam. There is no that, you know, vibrant kirtan as well. Because, you know, online the kirtan, the mood doesn't really come up as it comes up in the temple room, yeah? When we just start jumping and dancing and all that. I've never seen anybody dancing on a Zoom kirtan. It's hard. It just doesn't know. Especially if it's a great singer like me. What can I do? So, how will they become devotees is the question. No? So, my confidence that after this they will take to Krishna consciousness, I can't say it's as conviction as can. The conviction level is of course not that high as it would have been perhaps if I had some experience with the physical conviction. So, but if Prabhupada was, you know, physically there, then if he had said, for example, yes, my dear devotee, go and do this, it will be successful, then my preaching will be completely different all of a sudden. Now, I know that Prabhupada has said it will be successful, so my conviction level will be 100%. No matter what, it will be successful. So now just imagine this. Now, if some acharyas were to come in our dream and tell us, go and do it, Madananda, it will be successful, then we'll be bubbling with the conviction. So Prabhupada went through all that, you know, the blessings and the empowerment by the acharyas, including Srila Jiva Goswami, to say go ahead and it will be successful. So in my personal experience, you know, I'm waiting for that day when I can also dream that Srila Jiva Goswami, unlikely, you know, that he will come in my dream, but there is a likelihood that Prabhupada comes in the dream, you know, and then says, go ahead and do this, you know, it will be successful. You know, that dream I will encrypt in my mind forever, you know. Some of you may get dreams from Prabhupada, from Radha Krishna, from the devotees. If you have, you know, some nice experiences, that's wonderful. If you have to share, go ahead. If not, then pray very fervently, you know, that one day we, you know, also get dreams of acharyas blessing us that you will be successful. Then we can become much more convinced in the actions we take. Vamadeva Piyaranski. Srila Jiva Goswami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anybody have anything wrong? Any comments, questions, corrections, realizations? Few minutes? Nothing. This is how blank I was when I read this section of Mahabharata. And then it was 7:30 yesterday. This thing that I was talking about, the online thing, it goes at 6:30, it starts at 5:30 p.m. on Fridays. And it goes for an hour. So I said, and I had a super duper busy day in the office. So I said, 5:30 to 6:30 I will do that. And then 6:30 I will start, you know, meditating on my Bhagavatam lecture. And by the Lord's grace, I think only to put me into more anxiety, that thing went for 2 hours. Because something very attractive started happening. I was doing quiz with them, you know. So when you do quiz with people, newcomers, they like it. It becomes very interactive and jovial and laughter. So it went on for 2 hours. So it became 7:30. And I had 3 rounds left as well. So it kind of dragged on. And then when I read this at around 7:45, it was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Rama. So complete surrender when the Lord comes only during this time. During complete surrender. Oh my Lord, what do I say? So anyway, all glories to Hanuman Prabhu as well. He gave me some tips of what to say because I was quite blank, to be honest. He gave me some tips. So with his impetus and wisdom, I managed to say a few things as well. So I'll pass it here. Prabhupada ki.